What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and one of the original founding members of the show today, John Kegley, is on the show, so we're super excited about that. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best protein bar on the planet. You can save $10 off at builtbar.com with the promo code Locked On. We are three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who started covering the Chargers over five seasons ago, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, happy undrafted free agent Friday. We do have to start the show with some sad news because a former Chargers great has passed away. So we're going to start with that. We will also talk about Mike Williams trying to expand his brand. Before getting into the four undrafted free agents we're going to be getting into today, we're going to be talking about guard Josh Dunlop. We are also going to be getting into TJ Smith, the defensive lineman out of Arkansas, as well as Nate Gilliam, the guard out of Wake Forest, and Asmar Bilal, the linebacker from Notre Dame, another Notre Dame player. But let's go ahead and get into it. The Los Angeles Chargers got some sad news on Thursday when it was reported that former cornerback Joe Beauchamp has passed away. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. It's been a long time since Beauchamp played in the league, but he was drafted by the Chargers when they were still in the AFL in the 1966 draft in the sixth round out of Iowa State. He ended up playing 10 seasons while playing in 117 games with 81 starts. This is a guy that many Chargers fans might not have heard about, but then you look at the numbers he was able to put up. You look up the fact that he was on the Chargers when they were still in the AFL and made the transition over to the NFL with the team. And it's always sad to see somebody that played for the Chargers pass away. But I think in this moment, it is nice to look back and kind of reflect on what Joe Beauchamp was able to do for the Chargers, playing corner for them, getting all of the interceptions that he did. And he was just a playmaker back in his day. And you didn't see many people in those days putting up the kind of numbers that he did, David.
Not at all. I think this is a great opportunity to kind of reflect back on just such a talented player in his era. He played 10 seasons all with the Chargers, and he had 23 interceptions over the course of his career. 3 years that I like to highlight that were his best as a professional. In 68, he had 5 interceptions. In 1971, he had 4 interceptions. And in 72, he had 6 interceptions, while also mixing in 3 interception returns for a touchdown. He also has a laundry list of team records as well. He ranks 6th in interceptions with 23, 4th in interception return yards with 433, and 4th in interceptions returned for touchdowns with 3. Beauchamp also had 3 interceptions against the Broncos on September 24th, 1972, tying him for the single game team record. So this was an absolutely phenomenal player, especially in an era where interceptions did not come in bunches. Joe Beauchamp got his hands on more than a few. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Beauchamp family in this tough time.
Of course, we wanted to say rest in peace to Joe Beauchamp and give people just a little bit of background of the type of player that he was. And he really was an electric player. I mean, you see some of the teams that he played for and some of their success, knowing that he was a key part of that. And 23 interceptions, you just don't see those numbers from cornerbacks in his day. But I also want to get into Mike Williams, who, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, filed a trademark application for the phrase whole lotta. So this was definitely a surprising move. You've seen other players do this as recently as Tom Brady trying to trademark Tampa Bay now that he's a Buccaneer. But you look at whole lotta and it's not something, you know, that goes with Mike Williams' name. It doesn't rhyme. It's basically just something that he says all the time. And what I think of when I see something like this is, okay, he's trying to get something done before it blows up. So David, to me, it looks like Mike Williams is expecting to have a lot of fans after this season. It looks like he's expecting big things.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, he lives and works in one of the biggest media markets in the world, in Los Angeles. So what better place to be able to get notoriety out for a brand to try to sell some shirts, sell some phone cases, sell some sweatshirts. He's trying to get this brand out there and solidify a different revenue stream outside of his NFL paycheck. It's smart to diversify your portfolio and start getting revenue streams from different areas because you never know how long your NFL career is going to last. So, of course, for Mike Williams, for him to make this successful, he's going to have to put up another big year. He had one good year where he scored 10 touchdowns, another year last year where he led the league with over 20 yards per reception and also 1,000 yards receiving. But he needs to score a whole lot of more touchdowns and get a whole lot of more yards if he wants this brand to take off.
Yeah, one, it looks like he's already started doing it. It's been reported that he's already selling t-shirts and phone cases and things like that that have the phrase whole lot on there. So it makes sense that he's trying to trademark this so nobody else, you know, tries to steal it. But as Jason Hirschhorn from Sports Illustrated, who covers the Chargers, said, the United States Patent and Trademark Office does not issue those protections easily, and they could decide that the phrase is either too common or indistinguishable from other similar phrases to approve the application. So I know Ohio State was trying to trademark the word the. I mean, it's something like that, but not to that extent. It's definitely a more common phrase. You've seen it in commercials, and it's something that gets said a lot. But I'm not going to come down on a player for trying, like you said, to bring in another revenue stream, to start thinking about life after football. And I think Mike Williams must be thinking that this new move to SoFi Stadium, which is going to be a state-of-the-art stadium, and the Chargers' new infusion of talent is going to bring in more fans that are going to, in turn, buy some whole lot of products. So I understand it, but you're right. At the end of the day, if Mike Williams makes a Pro Bowl, if he gets an All-Pro nod, something of that nature, if he shows up in primetime games like he did against Kansas City a couple seasons ago when the Chargers broke their losing streak, I think he could definitely sell a whole lot of product. But we do have two more segments to get into because it is Undrafted Free Agent Friday. In the next segment, we're going to get into Asmar Bilal, as well as the big guy, TJ Smith, the defensive lineman out of Arkansas. And I mean, watching all these big guys play, it made me hungry, to be honest. And the only thing I could think of was to go and grab a Built Bar because, you know, when you're hungry, you don't necessarily want to eat all of those calories. And now you can have a great tasting protein bar that's covered in chocolate, which is soft and easy to chew, while at the same time being packed with 20 grams of protein and only 3 grams of sugar and 3 net carbs. It's hard to argue with those results. You're not going to get as big as TJ Smith by eating Built Bars, but it's a guilt-free snack that you can have that can either help you lose or gain weight if you want to. Right now, we can even save you guys a little bit of money because if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off your order at BuiltBar.com. All right, back with another Undrafted Free Agent Friday. David Drogemeyer was not able to be here for this part of the discussion, but I do have the best option for this discussion because John Kegley, one of the original members of the show, is here today to break down these undrafted free agents. And I thought it was a decent group of guys. I could really see why the Chargers did it, you know, because when I'm watching these guys, and the first couple of guys that we're going to talk about are TJ Smith, the defensive lineman out of Arkansas, and Asmar Bilal, another Notre Dame linebacker that the Chargers picked up to go along with the 85 other Notre Dame players that they have. But every guy that I saw, I could find a reason, okay, this is what the Chargers see out of this. And it's not always a good reason, but it's a reason, you know. So let's start with Asmar Bilal, another Notre Dame linebacker. John, I'm very interested to hear what you think of this guy because athletically, you look at it and he tested very well. He was second in bench press. He was second in shuttle, sixth in 40-yard dash time with a 4.58. These were all as pro day compared to the guys who actually got to do it at the combine. So athletically speaking, and I mean, even on film, he doesn't look like he's lacking in athleticism, but I understand why the Chargers picked this guy up and decided to bring him in. But what did you think about him as an overall prospect?
Well, I can see why they brought him in. He's obviously the Adrian Phillips type of player, the hybrid safety linebacker type, really athletic linebacker. He seems to be pretty good at reading the hole and doing his assignment, watching for players coming out of the backfield. He seems to have a really good IQ for that kind of stuff, but there's some things that bother me with him. Me and you were talking before the show about how he runs. It looks like he's running around a haunted house trying to escape without running into a ghost. Like,
he doesn't look athletic when he runs, and it bothers me.
It's like a standing up straight but kind of lurking kind of run. He doesn't just set his foot in the ground and run after you type of run. But he could tackle. This guy wants to hit. He's really aggressive, and he wraps up pretty well. Decent pass coverage. I wouldn't say it's great, but it was pretty decent. He's at least in the vicinity. Whether he gets there a little bit late and it's a 7-yard completion and he makes the tackle, or he gets there on time and it's knocked down and it's incomplete passes, like a matter of like milliseconds, but at least he's there. Whereas some Charger players that we've had the past couple of years aren't even there, and it's a 12-yard gain after a 7-yard catch. That right there, I think, is where I can see why the Chargers got him, because this is a chance at maybe getting a new Adrian Phillips-type player.
Well, and I think you've seen them add a few of those guys. I mean, you got Alohi Gilman, who is a safety, but I mean, he's definitely only going to play close to the line of scrimmage at this level if he makes it onto the Chargers. And we've seen them, you know, experiment with, you know, Desmond King potentially playing in that role, Rayshon Jenkins playing in that role. So you know that the team wants to bring somebody in that position. He played both outside linebacker spots at Notre Dame. He played in a ton of games, but got the most playing time this past season. All of his numbers jumped up this last season. I mean, 79 tackles. The first couple of seasons, I don't think he cracked 20. He had 10 tackles for loss last year and 2 passes defense. So definitely solid numbers, not numbers that jump off the page at you. I mean, he's definitely not a pass rusher. Even though he blitzed a lot, he's definitely not a good blitzer, I would say. He didn't really find the quarterback. And I thought when he wrapped up, when he stayed on his feet, he did very well to tackle. But there were a couple of times where he's just leaving his feet and guys were getting away from him. And that's one thing as a tackler, you just don't want to leave your feet, because once you do that, your pursuit is basically over. The guy has a step on you and the chances of you catching up to him are pretty bad. So I those were some of the things I was concerned about. But I thought, as far as, you know, covering the flats, getting running backs in the flats, short zone coverages, I thought all of that, he looked pretty comfortable, even though really weirded me out the way he was running around. But he looked pretty comfortable. He looked like he could tell what was going on. But in the running game, I thought that he was processing quickly, but at sometimes he would bite hard on play actions and have to kind of bail out. And there was other times where I thought he was trying to get there too quickly and maybe guessing and then ending up a little bit out of position. But for the most part, you didn't see him overrunning a ton of plays.
That's that aggressive play style of his that really makes him over-guess things, because he just wants to get in there, make the play, make the hit, which is an aggressive mindset. You're willing to take the risk because you want to go for everything versus being conservative and waiting, which is usually the smarter decision. Mm-hmm. But he's aggressive, so he's going to do that.
Well, and waiting can be bad too, right? I mean, you don't want to get there late either, because that's how you miss your gap integrity. That's how you lose your gap integrity. That's how you let a pulling guard get to you, because you don't shoot it. And it actually reminds me, now that I'm thinking a bit, more of a guy that we already watched in Romeo Finley. Another guy who liked to try to jump screen passes. Another guy that was 100 miles an hour. But I think Bilal gets to there with a little bit more balance. He doesn't usually totally overrun things, and he's always looking for the football. So I get it. I mean, I'm not convinced he's going to make the roster by any means, especially since I think they like Malik Jefferson. I think they like Emeka Egbuie, and both of those guys were with the Chargers before this season. But there's definitely a spot there. It's not like the bottom guys in the Chargers linebacker room are that talented. I don't think this guy is going to make the team, but I think if he did, it would be from playing a bunch of special teams, because that's something he did a lot of at Notre Dame as well. And I think when you're looking for those kind of special teams players, obviously you're looking at places you're familiar with, and the Chargers don't have any familiarity with the team more than they do with Notre Dame. So it makes sense why they brought him in. But there's another guy that I know that you weren't on as high on, John, and that's defensive lineman TJ Smith. Defensive tackle, to be exact. Last season, put up 20 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 4 tackles for loss. Not something that is going to just really grip you and say, oh, okay, the Chargers kind of got a gem here. And when you watch the film, you can kind of tell why he was lacking in that production, John.
Yeah, if you watch his film, he's basically just bull rushing every time. He's basically just taking his hands, putting him on the offensive lineman's chest and just pushing him backwards and not watching anything else. There's no awareness. He's not watching for the running back or the quarterback. He's just pushing his guy backwards. And a lot of times the offensive lineman let him push him backwards, and then the running back would just slip right underneath, and there goes the 8-yard gain or even more. He's not really looking for the ball. He's just focused on his guy. And when you do that, you're not going to get tackles. You're not going to make highlight plays. You're not helping your team out. You're just winning your individual battle. And that's just not enough sometimes, especially if they're letting you win it, because in the end, they might lose their individual battle, but they just want a team battle. It's like you may have lost, you may have won the battle, but you lost the war. That's basically what TJ Smith's going to do. He might win a couple of battles, but your team could lose the war if he's not making a play.
Well, and I think it reminded me of watching some offensive linemen, because when I was studying tape on some of these offensive linemen, you're seeing times where it looks like they're getting beat, but they just know, hey, to win this play, I don't necessarily have to move this guy off the line of scrimmage. I just have to get him going in the wrong direction, right? And I think that's something that just happened all of the time with TJ Smith. I mean, you see offensive linemen just kind of directing him around where the play is going to go. You see the running back cut in right behind it, and it's almost always a big chunk play because he's just opening up a seam. And the one thing, you know, I said every guy on this list, I understand why the Chargers went after him. The Chargers need depth on the defensive line. There's definitely a couple of spots. I mean, Cortez Broughton, that's a guy that, you know, you like what you saw from him. I had him as a sleeper last year. He didn't really do much. There's still guys on this roster that's like you wouldn't be surprised if they got cuts. But at the same time, the only real redeeming quality as far as an NFL prospect, and I want to just say this as well, because it sounds like I'm about to just absolutely destroy some young man who's worked his whole life to get into the NFL, and that's not the way I want to come off at all. Obviously, all of these guys are better than me at football. They're all better than you listening to this at football for the most part, unless, you know, Jamal Williams is listening. And I don't want it to seem like these guys just aren't good at football, but I'm just talking about at the NFL level. And the only thing as far as his traits that I thought were NFL level worthy was just his get off. I mean, there's just some things you can't teach, and he got off the ball very quickly. He launches himself into the offensive line, but at the same time, that led to a lot of his problems because he's jumping in blind. He's going in with no awareness of the running back and what the offensive linemen are trying to do with him or where he should end up. And as far as, you know, run-stopping ability, I thought that he had a decent anchor. I mean, he wasn't just getting blown out of the water on a lot of plays, which is why, you know, guys are letting him come in and they're just kind of guiding him out of the way. But you could understand, you know, seeing somebody with that kind of get off, because that's, you know, that burst off the line of scrimmage isn't always easy to find. And we've seen the Chargers go after guys like that before, and just defensive line depth, you know, practice squad depth, something like that. But as far as a fully formed defensive lineman, I just don't think that's what TJ Smith is at this point.
I think he's probably going to be one of the first cut, really, if you're looking at the roster right now and you're going to go in order of who's probably going to get cut first. I think TJ Smith's one of the first, just based off what I see.
Yeah, I mean, it would make a lot of sense. And I mean, all the cuts are probably going to come closer to the same time. But if you see the Chargers add somebody, it's somebody like this that's going to go first, right? Like, if the Chargers bring somebody else in and they have to make a spot for them, there's guys at the bottom of the list that are going to get, you know, pushed out to make a spot for somebody else. I could definitely see that happening. But we do have two more guys to get into, talking about some offensive linemen in undrafted free agency, coming up right after this. All right, John, well, now it's time to get into a couple more guys that I want to talk about in this undrafted free agent class for the Chargers, who I think, you know, had some pretty talented players. I saw a ranking somewhere that had them like 26th or something as far as undrafted free agent classes. But like me and David talked about yesterday, I mean, there's not a lot of opportunities on the Chargers where you just see such a weakness or such a glaring hole that you say, okay, that's a position that somebody is going to make their squad as an undrafted free agent, unless you're talking about like fullback, which is why, you know, you saw the Chargers bring in two fullbacks that are basically battling it out for a spot on this roster. But offensive line is another spot where you look at the Chargers and how they've done recently on the offensive line, and you're like, you know what? If there's somebody that shines in training camp, or the Chargers see a lot of potential in somebody, and they just don't want to keep, you know, beating their head against the same wall with some of the guys that they've already tried multiple times and it just hasn't worked out, I'm totally cool with it. So maybe one of these offensive linemen does stick around. But I want to start with someone that I actually didn't get to watch a lot of film on. But of course, John Kegley is well-versed in every college football player, I guess, because on the spot, he had watched film already on this guy. And I'm talking about Nate Gilliam, the offensive guard from Wake Forest. We had a very last minute guy that we could not talk about on today's show for purposes that we won't get into. But of course, we have John Kegley there, who has already watched film on all of these guys, and I just haven't watched enough of his film to feel comfortable doing a deep film breakdown. But That's why we have John Kegley here. So I will tell you that Nate Gilliam was a third-team All-AACC offensive guard for the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. He made 12 starts on the season, was on the field for 828 snaps. And that's one thing I like just by reading about this guy, John, is the dependability. And 2018, he started all 13 games. He played a team-high 1,121 snaps. That's a ton of snaps. Had three games with 100 or more snaps that season. And this is a guy that I know you watched a lot of film on, and I know you have a bunch of notes on.
I love that you mentioned my ability of having no life there, Wade, of watching these guys' films. Meanwhile, you have watched very little because you have a life.
I just like to take him a little bit at a time. Four at a time is plenty for me.
But this guy played, I believe it was 102 snaps against Utah State last year. That's a lot of offensive snaps for an offensive lineman in one game. And that alone right there was amazing to me. That's a guy who is keeping healthy, playing a lot, is
played 113 snaps in 2018 against Boston College. 113.
That's a lot. It takes a lot of a beating on your body to play offensive line. And he did 113 and stayed healthy during it, even though he
108 versus Florida State in 2018. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And he missed the bowl game his senior year, I believe, because of an injury. But he played all those other games, and it took all the way up until a bowl game his senior year to get an injury. I'll take my chances on that. You know me. I'm a guy that's not going to risk injury history.
Sure.
But there's the thing with this guy is, I would say the great thing about him is he keeps himself square with whoever he's going up against. He's always on his feet, always aware. Even if he has nobody to block, he's looking and making sure somebody else is not sneaking in. He's always aware. Some things about him, though, is instead of keeping his whole body as like a nice, firm statue waiting to get a hit going, he sometimes leans forward and tries to initiate the contact a little bit early, which can sometimes get him beat. But there's also times where he times it just right and he's on the guy and he's blocking him. He does pretty well in run blocking. Pass blocking, he could do a little bit better with his footwork, just because sometimes he notices the guy coming at a little bit too late and then moves over. Now he has to like shuffle with the guy to hope the quarterback moves up in the pocket. But he still notices it. And I think that's just a quick little, you go to the gym, you come to practice an hour early and you practice it real quick and you could fix that. This guy, I believe, is a really coachable player that you could fix a lot of his issues. But the fact that you don't even have to teach him to stay square, stay in front of your guy and always be aware for somebody else to be coming on a blitz. There was one play where a linebacker came from the other side on a sneaky little blitz, and he's just standing there looking for somebody, and that linebacker comes in, and he got right on that guy and stopped him from rushing in after the QB, and it ended up being like a 20-yard completion. Stuff like that you can't teach.
Oh, you love that kind of stuff, too. I mean, you love guys that are continuing to look for work. You love guys that are patient enough, and they're not going to, you know, try to go after the first guy that crosses their face and let a free rusher come in at the quarterback. I mean, those are all things that you definitely like to see in offensive linemen. And you love just to see that kind of awareness and football IQ as well. And, you know, and as well as the size. I mean, this guy has size you can't teach either. And 6'5", around 300 pounds. I mean, that's you know, you can't teach that part of it. And to know that there are some things he has to work on, but that are coachable. I mean, I'm definitely down to see more of this guy and see what he's all about, because the Chargers have a ton of guards. They just brought in Ryan Groy, which is already blurring the situation a little bit more, because I mean, you could potentially see Ryan Groy and Trent Scott and Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp all going after the same spot at left guard. And that's just not a situation where you're going to go in and take Trey Turner's job, but you know that none of the guys that we just previously talked about have had a ton of success there. I mean, Ryan Groy has had 17 starts or something like that, but it's like none of those guys are like, okay, that's the next Pro Bowl offensive lineman for the Chargers. So not a bad position to be playing, but definitely is going to be a steep road to get on this team. Practice squad player, though, from what you're saying, it sounds like that's a possibility. But we also are getting into another offensive lineman, Josh Dunlop, who played some right tackle last season, or played all right tackle last season, but has played up and down the offensive line for the University of Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. I mean, obviously. I watch every Roadrunners game, a big Roadrunner guy in general. But, John, you watch both of these guys. Obviously, I only really got into depth on one of them. So how would you compare these two guys?
I would say Dunlap's the more aggressive guard out of the two. I believe Gilliam's more of the higher IQ, makes the smarter play, and is always aware. But I believe Dunlap's the more aggressive guy, can make a better block, can be a lot more aggressive in maintaining that block. But when he plays on the outside, I feel like he's too slow. I don't feel like he should be a great, I don't feel like he should be an NFL tackle. But I think he has a chance if he plays guard. And the fact that you'd be going up against a Dan Feeney or something like that gives you a better chance at earning a roster spot as well. But with him, I would say the great thing about him is he started out in community college and then moved up, which means he's not afraid to have to work his way up to get where he wants to be. Right. He didn't even go to a big school. He didn't go community college, and now I'm at Alabama. He went community college, University of Texas, San Antonio, and had to earn a right just to make an undrafted free agent spot on a roster right now. So he's not afraid to work hard and become better at stuff. So stuff like that tells me he's got a great work ethic. And when you watch him on film, you can tell that every game he got a little bit better. Like some things that you watch, you go, oh man, he didn't really square up really well against these guys, man. I can't, the next film's going to look bad. Next game, oh, he squared up better. Now he needs to do a little bit better with the hand movement. If someone knocks his hand down, he needs to get another hand up. In the next game, he fixes that. He just kept getting better every game, so I feel like he's willing to learn and improve.
I was actually pleasantly surprised with Joshua Dunlop, and when I was watching him, I watched, you know, some Conference USA games, and I'm like, all right, but it's still the Conference USA, so I was like, let me watch his game against Mississippi State. At least, you know, even though Mississippi State wasn't great last year, at least it's an SEC team full of SEC athletes, and I thought he really held his own. I came away very impressed by him. I mean, there are a couple of things. I mean, if he's trying to reach his down blocks, I definitely saw defensive linemen split those gaps and get into the backfield and make plays, which is not something that you want. He needs better hand placement and pass protection. I think you kind of, you know, talked about that a little bit. And the other thing is he just lets edge rushers get into his body too easily. I mean, he didn't get beat for a lot of sacks on bull rushes and things like that, and his anchor usually ended up holding up. But if you're talking about having to keep up with somebody on a speed rush in the NFL while still having to be able to stop that bull rush when you're not expecting it and you're trying to get as far back as you can and trying to cover your inside when you have Von Miller trying to get around you on the outside and just, you know, dipping back in for a sack. I mean, there's just a lot to deal with at the NFL level. You put that into a phone booth, you move him down to guard. The problem is with me is I think he's kind of a tweener, right? I mean, if there was some other position between the guard and the tackle, he'd be just absolutely perfect. But that position doesn't exist. I mean, my biggest thing, that's a random weird thought that I have when I was watching him, just because I don't know if he plays physically enough to be a guard consistently. I mean, he was listed as 273 pounds. That's, you're going to have to add a little bit of weight, but you can do that. That's easy, right? I mean, I think pass protection as a guard, I think he could be a plus pass protector at the guard position because he won't have to worry about guys trying to get around him with speed. He showed very good awareness, like you were talking about Nathan Gilliam. I was very impressed by his awareness and his patience. He was waiting for that second defender to come around on a stunt. He was waiting with hands ready. Another thing was this year was just sticky. I mean, guys stuck to him. You didn't see guys usually getting off of his pass block if he actually got his hands on them. So not a very fierce pop. He's not going to jolt guys off the line of scrimmage and just disrupt their pass rushing plan right off the bat. But as far as patience, as far as football IQ, and watching him, you know, go up against some pretty good athletes and hold his own, I was actually, you know, pretty impressed by a guy who played at University of Texas San Antonio. And I think when you're watching guys like that, like I said, you get it. You see why the Chargers are interested in it. And you understand that, you know, it sucks that this has to be the year when there's like 55 offensive linemen.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because when I was watching him and I was comparing his weight as well, I thought, what if this guy could be your designated, like, pulling left guard or something? With the how aggressive he is, the way he has an IQ of looking for someone to block, what if he becomes your left guard, and because he's a little bit lighter, he can move a little bit faster, and he's your pulling left guard in an offense that wants to run a lot.
I mean, you can see that part of it too. I mean, he's definitely a guy that I wouldn't say he's a super athlete, but the way he moves in space wasn't bad. I thought there was times when he failed to connect when he got there, and he wasn't pulling a ton at the tackle position at University of Texas San Antonio. But I mean, I would love that. I just don't think the Chargers are nearly innovative enough. I mean, me and John were going back and forth on looking at some of the plays that Kyle Shanahan runs and just kind of watching with jealousy. It was Kyle Shanahan and Doug Peterson, and we were just like, why can't we have this? Like, look at this. I mean, you have a fake jet sweep that's actually a screen, and then when the ball finally gets there on the fake jet sweep, he has five offensive linemen in front of him, just a full-on combo. It's just like, you just know the Chargers could never pull it off. But if they had a position like that and they had a guy that they could bring in for those situations, I thought he was pretty fleet of foot, especially if you're putting him inside. I think he'd be a more athletic guard. And maybe the Chargers aren't as really concerned about the weight thing because they want to push more of that zone running scheme. They want to get on the outside. They want to find guys that can get out in space and catch up to somebody and, you know, stick onto the block and just keep them long enough for the running back to find that seam in that zone running scheme and just take off through it, right? And the Chargers have some guys that should excel in that kind of style. I mean, Melvin Gordon isn't walking through those doors. So, like I said, I totally get it. I was actually pleasantly surprised. And at the same time, I know that none of these guys will probably make the roster just because that's kind of the situation we're in right now. And the Chargers just seem too convinced on too many bad offensive linemen that I'm ready to move on from, but they don't seem to be ready to move on from. So I think that's the biggest issue these guys trying to make the squad are going to have to deal with it. But that is going to do it for today's show. Sorry I couldn't give you more on Nate Gilliam. It was a total tornado of something that happened before the show, but I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Of course, John Kegley brought it strong as always, and I really like the way this undrafted free agent Friday has unfolded. So we don't have that many more to talk about, but we'll have more for you guys next week. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We are probably going to do a voicemail show on Monday. So if you guys want to get your voicemails on Monday's show, the number is 323-524-7924. And every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for coming in and listening to us today. We will talk to you guys next week. As always, until then, take it easy and go Bolts.